can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. In the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus Bible Study for tonight. Welcome to my Bible study. You're welcome to join me. Thank you for coming. Those that's listening. Family, tonight, I'm going to cover several subject areas in the Bible study. I'm going to somewhat continue what I was talking about last week. Something that's going to be useful here in the future. And that's casting out demons. Because that's what's causing everything. Certainly man's sinning ways, but with a heck of a push from the supernatural realm. And this is going to increase exponentially as we move along. Because once they increase it, there's no stopping it. The increase, that is. Because they see what they think is their beginning of control. Like thirsty cows to water. But what they don't realize is when they get to the water, they won't find out until it's too late. It's poisoned water. That's the judgment that's coming. They're going to run headlong into it. But in the meantime, people seem to forget. You know the little phrase where God tells us that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Some people ask, when's God going to stop this? What's he letting this happen for? He already knows all this. And they keep forgetting that he's holding back judgment. That each day they're judged. Each day that they do something counts against them, that will be held against them in the great white throne. Each innocent person they kill, if that's what happens, that person is born again. He goes to heaven. How can that be bad? We miss them down here. But then we're taught death education from school and everywhere else that once you die, it's over, so you miss them forever. No. The key is you become born again, and they become born again, you see them again. The death education we went through school, and is ongoing pretty much, is to show you, or try to teach you rather, not show you, but teach you, that death is final. To fear death. When actually the opposite's true. But it doesn't mean you run headlong into it. I'll be talking about suicide and its implications later on this week. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and tonight we're going to talk about deliverance. And that's going to be needed here in the future. Matter of fact, the Vatican seems to have been given a heads up with it. They, yesterday, day before, let's see, the Pope, where is it? The Pope is looking at exorcism to, there it is, Colombian Archbishop turns to exorcism to combat suicide increase. I've talked about this before. The demon of suicide, and there is one, is caused by deep depression, which is caused by a demonic entity. They work together in chains. And the deep depression is created by another demon with a different frequency. And then the suicide demon comes in. Or if they use technology, they can implant those thoughts using technology, microwave transmission. This is now, I've talked about this many times. I'm not going to cover it tonight in detail. But this is what they do. They can synthesize, make synthetic demonic influence coupled with actual demonic influence, which are little energy balls or whatever, energy specks of light are demons. And to make them look bigger, they create illusions. Well, they're close in the Vatican talking about demonic activity producing or causing suicides. Yeah, it's close. Then you can do it by technology. Remember, voice-to-skull technology. Both ways. Well, now the Archbishop is turning to exorcism to combat suicide increase. And you know it'll work? And remember I told you why? Alberto Rivera testifies that there's a cooperation between the demonic realm and the popery, the exorcists that are trained in popery, that when they cast out the demon, they make a big show out of it, and that gives power to the Roman Catholic Church. And there's a cooperation between the demonic realm and the Catholic Church in the same way that all the exorcists are, just about, but definitely the Catholic Church, until you are born again and through the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus Christ, are real exorcisms that gives power to those that follow Jesus. Now, they don't want that to happen. So those kind of exorcisms are real. Well, you get the exact exorcisms to do the Catholic Church with cooperation between the demonic realm and the exorcists in the Catholic Church and voodoo witch doctors, shamans. There's a cooperation there. So once I cast them out, then the one that has had the demon inside is thankful to the one that cast it out, which means that your theology must be the right one. You see how it works? This one's really going, it's bizarre, isn't it? It's really bizarre. And at the expense of losing credibility, you know, I still talk about it because it's so hard to believe in this physical world we live in. But the spiritual realm is the rule, not the exception. Now, people say, well, I just don't see it. Well, the thing is, they're going to. The demonic realm, the supernatural realm, is going to eventually start showing up. and they're going to see amazing things, but those things that they see is going to scare the dickens out of them. Hadn't happened yet. Some circles it has, but the average Joe Blow in the public has not seen yet the supernatural, only in movies. It's taught to fear it. You see what they've done with the movies? To fear it. It's ugly, mean. It's Freddy with long fingernails and all that sort of thing. And as above, so below, the movies and all that stuff. Taught you to fear it. Don't try to cast us out, they say. Look at the movies, how strong and powerful we are. Wrong. See, they've caused this. It's been ingrained in people's minds today. To fear the unnatural. To fear the supernatural realm. As they're strong and powerful. No, they're not. Through the Jesus Christ, they're not at all. See what they've done? So, let's get started. Lord, we come together tonight for prayer. Father, we thank you for this Bible study, for our network, Lord, that you bring us to it. Lord, we call upon you tonight to give us discernment and wisdom through your Holy Spirit. Guide us tonight in this Bible study about deliverance. And Lord, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our sins as we lay them before you on the cross. Father, we name them to you individually and ask you to forgive us of these sins, of our thoughts and what we've done. And Father, to help us to get rid of that pride, Lord, if we have in, and to humble us before you. Father, tonight we pray Lord, for a friend of Sister Mac, whose son was shot and killed. We pray for this family, Lord, to give them comfort. Exalt your name, Lord, and help them, Father, through this time. Another friend of Sister Mac, her aunt has a blood clot in her brain, and Father, suffered a stroke. We pray for her recovery. And Lord, we also pray for another friend of Sister Mac, who's a single mother with children, that she's looking for a home for her family. And Lord, we have many families in this country like this, that Lord, all those at the hierarchy, Father, to find those that's going to help these people. And Father, for healing. And Lord, for comfort. We call upon your Holy Spirit to give people the answer to prayers. And to use these tragedies and situations to exalt your name. And Father, we pray for guidance this week. Father, we can have insight and the wisdom, discernment through your Holy Spirit. That Father, teach us what we have to do in these coming times. And Father, give us the truth through the Holy Spirit about the end times events to show us that the signs of the times, that Lord, we can be able to discern them, the deception that's being taught today. That Father, in our circles, that we'll know the truth and be able to tell others about the truth. In these things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, y'all have a life wish of some kind? Do you have a life wish? You know, there's a Colorado mountaineer and a guide that is talked about that was once asked if he thought about climbers had a death wish. He said, well, actually, they have a life wish, to have life, to live life to its fullest. And he said, as a careful and yet adventurous climber, he explained why he considered the risks worth taking. He said, when it comes time for me to die, I do not wish to discover that I have not lived. Well, as the Apostle Paul traveled to Jerusalem, you recall, It might have appeared to his closest friends that he had a death wish when Paul would go out. At one point, several people warned him of his danger and urged him not to go. You'll find that in Acts 21, verse 4 and 21, verse 12. You know, but Paul made up his mind anyway in Ephesians. And he clearly stated that his purpose was to finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 20, verse 24. Acts. You know, Paul didn't take really unnecessary risks. Even Jesus avoided certain situations. And you know, he didn't take unnecessary risks when he witnessed as a Christian. Not to be confused with Christianity. Not the same thing. Oh, no. Christianity is different. Christianity has Christianized, made a religion out of being a Christian, so they could deceive and come up with different beliefs and different doctrine and control the Christian. All religion is corrupt. Every single religion, there's not one that's not corrupt, because religion in itself was designed and created by man and the fallen angels to corrupt being a Christian, including Christianity. This is a hard concept for people to grasp. But when you look at the tree, then you don't see it. When you look at the forest, you see it. Because in the forest are 37,000 trees. What am I talking about? 37,000 different sects of Christianity. 37,000. All have a different name, a different... some doctrine is different or changed. You know, his goal, Paul's goal, was not to play it safe and protect himself. Reminds me of somebody else I know close by. Instead, he lived to finish the spiritual race with joy and to complete God's task for him, no matter what the risk. That even death is an option, if need be. You know, but Paul, his courage challenged us to live for Christ with selfless abandon, not apprehension. And that's a way to know the ultimate fulfillment of joy. So do you ask yourself, do we share his life wish today? Christensen said, I quote, "Only this hour is mine, Lord. May it be used for thee. May every passing moment count for eternity." So when you hear Victoria Osteen say that God's greatest joy is for us to be happy, and for us to make ourselves happy first, it really goes opposite of what really the truth is. It's for us to help God fulfill his agenda by working through us. He don't need our inventions. He don't need our bombs. He don't need our churches, that they build the four walls with, or the names of churches, or the different denominations, or computers. He don't need all that. He'll use it. He'll allow it to be used in his favor. But what he needs is our love. He needs our commitment to deliver his word no matter how. Did Noah and the sons have to go into the world and herd the animals to the ark? No. How in the world did all those animals come from all of the continents to that one little ark? Well, the continents wasn't divided then, by the way. It was one earth, one piece of land. No continents were there then at the beginning of the flood. Yep. And God inspired all those animals exactly to come to the ark. And there weren't any dinosaurs there either, for goodness sakes. The dinosaurs were to be gone, killed by the flood. The dinosaurs were an abomination evolved through Satan's manipulation of DNA. That's another story. I'm not going there tonight. That in itself is another story. I sort of give you a little taste of it. Yeah. Satan tried everything he could. By giants, by corrupted DNA, dinosaurs as manipulated by his trial and error of animals then, maneuvering using alchemy and craft to manipulate, distort the DNA. So you can see the lies about, well, 50 million years ago, 65 million years ago, 100 million years ago. But I will say that really nice artistry and paintings of dinosaurs, it's made to look like they're real. Nice imagination. Yeah. Artist depictions. Great artistry. But not real. In like the same manner, Leonardo da Vinci painted The Last Supper. Leonardo da Vinci was an avatar. Leonardo da Vinci, needless to say, was not there at The Last Supper. And there weren't any witnesses that was there, so how did he know who said where? Well, he was channeled. That's how he knew. Channeled to a false depiction of The Last Supper, making sure that a woman looked like she's sitting near Jesus, to give rise later that Jesus was married. These people plan way ahead of time. You ever think about that? Which leads me to this article came out 2 days ago. Quote, "A married Jesus. Here's the best historical evidence." See, I told you they're going to cash in on it. And I have it documented in the Illuminati's own book, textbook, that Leonardo da Vinci was specifically an avatar. His name mentioned. That's where Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Plato, all these guys were avatars, channeled by the fallen angels, to bring in new thought, new theology, paintings, and so forth, to manipulate the public view with their plan in the future. Man, people have no idea. Man, it's amazing. People have no idea how far back planning this goes. Everything in our history ever of mankind is involved in this. There's not one exception. A married Jesus. Here's the best historical evidence. You see, the Jesus is going to be Sanan Emmanuel. Mary is going to be some woman that, in fact, this Sanan Emmanuel, fallen angel, had sexual relations with, produced the hybrid bloodline of the Merovingian bloodline that's protected by the Knights Templar. Ah, you see how it works? And this is the Jesus, the fake one, that they saw in India, that they saw in other places, but it's not Jesus of Nazareth at all. Because Jesus of Nazareth never went outside about 100 miles of Jerusalem. That's it. And anything outside, listen, anything outside that 100-mile radius of Jerusalem was all pagan. Everything was pagan. That's why they sent the disciples out. That's why they had tongues. Because they didn't have Pilsner back then, you understand? They couldn't say, okay, I'm going to teach you Japanese. And you. No, the tongues is not spoken today. It was spoken back then, and they had interpreters. That's the real tongues, not the Pentecostal yah shakalaka, boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka going on. That's baloney. That's demonic influence. Absolutely. And then some of these people don't even know. And some people use it to say, look, I have the power of tongues. Whatever. Look at me. What I can do. I've just spoke tongues. I'm endowed by the Holy Spirit. What do you want to know? No, it don't work that way. I have no clue what you said. have no idea where it's coming from. So what good is it? Zero. Nada. Except to show how good I am. Or so I don't do none of that nonsense. They tried to teach me that one day. When I was going to some Bible study in Chicago, I'd go once every week, and it got a little strange. And they said, Tom, you can speak tongues. I said, I can't speak tongues. So all you got to do, and the way they tried to teach me was to just let the words come out. I'm like, what do you mean let the words come out? Just make noise. So you know me. I'm like, make noise. I said, wait, this doesn't make any sense. Just do it. So I tried a couple of times. You're doing good. I said, I'm doing good, huh? I said, I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. I felt like, what, Abbott Costello, who's on first. Now, they didn't like my attitude much. They didn't like my attitude at all, actually. They said, well, Tom, listen. I said, what? They said, you know, it's your spirit talking to God. My spirit talking to God. My spirit's talking behind my back to God, and I don't know what it's saying. Tom, get serious. I said, I'm serious. It doesn't make sense to me. I quit going. It didn't make any sense. Then I found out what tongues really is. So back to what I was talking about. You know, the disciples had to go out into the world then, because it was a time of, this is important, it was a time of the Gentiles. Not the Jews, not the Hebrew Jews, time of the Gentiles, and in Greek came parts of the Bible. In Greek, because that was the language of the Gentiles back then. Yes? Not the Jews have done, they're cooked, man, they're done. They're scattered, gone. They failed. The 12 tribes failed to carry the word of God back in the time of Jacob. God knew it was happening, but he gave them the task anyway. God gives us the opportunity to fail so we'll learn. He knows what we're going to do, but he lets us do it anyway. And he knows we're going to fail. And they did. Fail miserably, actually. Ended up with two tribes. And they fought each other for 200 years. Jeroboam and Rehoboam or something, whatever. And the others are scattered to Timbuktu, Kalamazoo, all over the place. Actually, they know where the tribes are. That's another Bible study. But nevertheless, you see, so it's passed to the Gentiles. So the Greek Jesus, not Yahweh, not Yeshua, no. The Greek Jesus went to Jesus. That's where the J came from. They're trying to pull back the Hebrew roots before it's time. It's not time yet. Man can't do it. Man ain't going to either. That's what's going on today. Hebrew roots movement and all that, trying to, well, his name's really Yeshua. Yeshua, Yahuwah, and they come up with some, and it's really exotic to say Hebrew and all this. No, sir, not at all. The time of the Gentiles will be fulfilled when Jesus Christ steps his foot down into Jerusalem and begins his reign of 1,000 years. Now, everybody be speaking Hebrew. Now, his name will be Yeshua. Then, when it happens, the time of the Gentiles is over. See, that's what they don't like, none. That's too bad. Because the word of God was passed on from Hebrew and Greek to English, a universal language. Hello. And that happened to be in line with Tyndale's prayer at his time he was burning to death, to open up the eyes of the king. And that king later down the road ended up being King James. And in English. You see, that's what happened. They don't like that none. Well, that's their problem. And then when the time of the Gentiles is over, which hadn't happened yet. So back to tongues. So when the disciples went out and about after the Pentecost, they were given the power of the Holy Spirit to speak tongues. Why? Because they weren't given the opportunity to learn the other languages. So when they spoke in their own tongue, the culture they were witnessing Jesus with, or God, Jesus, and the scriptures after the Pentecost, was in their own language. Now that's magical. You want to call it that. But was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So I'm speaking English, and someone in Japanese is hearing me in their language. That is tongues. That's the real tongues. And then the other side was being inspired by God to speak in the heavenly language with an interpreter so you'll understand what's being told. You know, that's the other part of tongues. That's not being done today. Almost not at all. You see? So what's really coming out is satanic language in these churches and Kundalini, and they're coming off the boom shakalaka is a curse being put on people. And in that church, they don't know about it. Thought I better tell you that. Put on my heart to tell you, and that's the deal. I wouldn't plan on talking about that, but ended up doing it anyway. So a married Jesus. Here's the best historical evidence. No, he was not married. But Sanan to Manuel might have been. Mm-hmm. The sons of God, the daughters of men, created Nephilim. That's the bloodline, the Merovingian bloodline, protected by Knights Templar, who? Queen Elizabeth II, and all her bloodline. And you know who's in her bloodline? All of our presidents are appointed or in the same bloodline as that marriage. That's correct. The tribe of Dan is put in there also. The tribe of Dan has a lot to do, the 13th tribe, with the Merovingian bloodline. The tribe of Dan was taken out of the inheritance all the way back to the time that the 12 tribes were set up with Jacob. The tribe of Dan got a little bit stupid on them. They got ambitious. They had a good place they put them, but they wanted more. They got exiled out of the 12. They became merchants. And you know who was part of the tribe of Dan? Yeah. Saudi royal blue blood, the Saudi family. They're Jewish in Saudi Arabia. And I know for a fact, I was there 4 years, that they're Jewish and they're part of the bloodline of Bush, Queen Elizabeth II. Yeah. Tribe of Dan look Arab, don't they? Yeah, because they're in the Middle East. But still, bloodline. That's why we put the House of Saud in control of Saudi Arabia. That's why the National Guard, which I helped train, by the way, in Saudi Arabia in 96 to 99, I was part of that training in Vanel. I found out all this stuff. They have two tribes only for the National Guard because all the others in the Army, the Air Force, and so forth are the tribes of real Muslims. Ishmael's bloodline. Ooh, it's hot. You see, that's what's going on over there. That's why they have to have a dictatorship and a royal family to control the population in Saudi Arabia. It's amazing stuff, man. Anyway, I'll pass that on. A lot of them people don't know that. They don't realize that. That the House of Saud's and the bloodline of Bush, Queen Elizabeth II, Merovingian bloodline, tribe of Dan. They're not even Muslims. They pretend like they are, but they have nothing to do with Muslims. They just pretend they're Muslims over there. Like, the Bushes and all these guys over here and Jimmy Carter's pretend to be Christian. They're not. They're Luciferian. I'm surprised I haven't gotten any trouble lately. But anyway, spiritual warfare. It tells us in the Bible, evil men and women will wax worse and worse, and lying, deceiving, and being deceived is coming. This isn't just bad news. This is real news. It's expected. I just look ahead. I don't like sticking my hand in the sand. Jesus calls Satan the father of all lies. Did he not? The Bible warns us in the last days, evil men and women will be prevalent. Lying and deception, which are now called spin. They'll characterize the generation and the leaders who will put the world down into the dark abyss and the terrors of the coming apocalypse. They'll try to deceive you with all kinds of fear-mongering and this, that, and the other. When this really starts, they won't be trying to put fear on you. They'll be crawling under a table. they'll be trying to find a cave to crawl into. When this really goes down, all the fear mongers will disappear. But God will know where every one of them are. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving, though we're speaking lies and easily and convincingly, and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3:1-13. So when you read the Bible, it goes on to warn all those who call the things God evil, good. And the things God calls good, they'll call evil. Those that are born again Christians that follow the King James Bible will be ostracized by other Christians. You know, there's a lot of examples of this twisting of right and wrong that you'll find in our world today. It includes lying, deceiving, and homosexuality, which God in the Bible calls evil, as is adultery, as is lying, cheating, stealing, everything else, rape, murder. It's all part of it. Debate. Debating is listed the same thing as murder. When we have a family member that's homosexual, we tend to want to excuse it. When in reality, if you witness to them, it might keep them out of hell, because God has already set the standards. We can't change them, family, no matter how much we want to maneuver it and mold it into what makes us feel comfortable. We can't. It's impossible. You can't do it. It's like your 10-year-old saying, well, okay, mom and dad, well, actually, they can do that. We'll do it. When the international rights of the child is signed. A 10-year-old telling you, well, mom, this is what the rules are going to be. I'm going to tell you, dad, mom, we need to have a talk. For what? Well, because I'm going to set the rules now. Really? Well, actually, that's going to happen. International Rights of the Child will take your child away. That's another story. That's a broadcast topic. But same thing as a 10-year-old telling the parents he's going to establish the rules of the house. It's for us to tell God, well, we're going to excuse, like the Pope is like a 10-year-old kid telling God what he's going to do and not do in the house. It's nonsense. He can declare this and declare that, and he can declare an octopus is an elephant if he wants to. Won't make it true. That was silly, wasn't it? But you got the idea. The Pope has no authority whatsoever, zero. Nada. He's just a man, skid marks like everybody else has got, maybe, and it's all he is. Same thing for some of the preachers out here. Everybody that claims to be hotshot, uh-uh. In God's eyes, we're all equal. Only thing that separates us is wheat and tares. That's it. Whether or not we accepted him as his son, as our Savior. That's the only separation. He establishes rules. We don't. You know, now, more than ever, it's like thirsty cattle going to water. Homosexuality is now being presented as good on TV, movies, in our schools. It's like a wildfire going out crazy, and the winds are blowing it, and the grass is dry. Simply posting the Ten Commandments in a public place or individual group or national prayer, publicity spoken in the name of Jesus, which God in the Bible calls good, is now being ridiculed and attacked as evil. In Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light, light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. What does that mean to you? Well, how about this? Just happens to work out. I did a little studying before I started the broadcast. I thought it might come in handy. And yes, a Baptist school threatened, stop prayer or you can't host a wrestling tournament. That was the past couple of days. So they, you can't have this wrestling tournament unless you stop prayer. A Baptist school was threatened. How about that? They're coming right down, up, right up close and personal. And yet the LA school district says girl 14 is mature enough to consent to sex with teacher. I got like 40 different titles of articles here that I've been collecting this past couple of days. Unbelievable how they're changing everything. See, it's exactly what's going on. I mean, exactly. And at the same time, the Pope reinforces traditional family values while at the same time supporting homosexual marriages. It's so split up, man. It's like a banana split, man. It's unbelievable. Well, that's exactly what they're trying to do. To crash the Roman Catholic Church, to bring in the New Age movement. And the Roman Catholics have no idea, no clue of the ambush you're getting ready to fall into. And you're not going to tell them because they're brainwashed, just like this Baptist Jesus schools down here, Jesus camps, whatever they call them, where they brainwash children. Oh, y'all, watch those things are unbelievable. It's a CIA training camp. Christian identity coming on up, starting young. And they complain about Muslims training their children? Better look in the mirror. Because you've got Baptist camps down here called Jesus camps. Man, I venture to say, or CIA training ground for the next Inquisition. Not a person saying a word. They give them international rights of child. They gone. You know, since many people believe they're getting away with these things now, they don't believe that they'll be judged after they die. That's where this universalism comes from. And when I die, it's just over. Christians believe this. Not all of them, of course, but majority are intermingling the New Age. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I go to church, but also think he's okay with homosexuality. Say what? Run that by me again. Well, who are we to judge? Oh, I said, we're nobody to judge, but he's already done that. You know, it's already set up. I just don't believe it. I don't want to believe my God would be that evil that he would have a hell that would torment people. What do you say? When people got their minds, because part of it is they have dead family members that they don't believe is were saved when they died, therefore they can't accept the possibility that, or the fact that that family member may be in hell. That's why they can't accept it. I believe that God gives us opportunities along the way and either accept him or reject him. And then it comes up, well, what about those that's never heard this name? Say, well, you don't know that. You don't know who has and who hadn't. You don't know how he's maneuvering missionaries. That's why he's holding back so he can maneuver and work his plan. Hebrews 9:27. Today, all the subjects have been surprises to me. I start off with something and end up doing something else. I literally let the Holy Spirit guide me. I literally do. I'm in my own little world when I start this broadcast. Sometimes there's people have to ask what I say, because I really don't know. I honestly don't. And I don't know. Sometimes I don't have any plan at all, and it's been this way for 5 years, but on a couple occasions I have had plans, but most of the time I just really don't. And sometimes he waits at the last minute. Anyway, Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Family, if you're going to believe in God, you got to believe in His Word. I had a discussion this weekend with some folks. They believe in God and Jesus, but yet they believe they keep coming back over and over to get it right again. I said, huh? What? Then Jesus is not necessary to die on the cross then. If He can come back over and over, why would God send His Son to die on the cross? So that means you must not believe He died on the cross, or that Jesus wasn't God. Something's messed up there. It tells you right there. If you're going to, so we don't believe all the Word. You don't believe all the Word. God's not going to lie. He's not going to mislead. Whew. You know, Scriptures tell us that God cannot lie, and He hates all lies, and God says truth is non-negotiable. Truth is not subjective. Truth is objective. Well, that's your truth. I have a different truth. What? What? Okay, well, maybe I'm wrong and maybe you're wrong. Somebody's wrong here because we have opposite. So let's find out what the truth is. Maybe I'm wrong. I could, but both of us can't be right. You know, because you got an opposite view and I say it's this and you say it's that. Well, it's opposite. So let's go in more study and find out which one it is. You know. Because it's in the Bible. It tells you. But God says truth is just non-negotiable and is fundamental to His law. You know, in the past, liars and perjurers were dealt with harshly, severely. Now today we see lying casually accepted in the news and movies and on TV. Matter of fact, until a lie crossed my fingers behind my back and I'm telling the truth automatically. And you can color code lies. Oh, come on, man. It's just a white lie. Gah. I had a 45-year-old truck driver tell me that when I was in security and keeping track of things going back and forth. I couldn't let him out until I had something checked or whatever. He said, oh, come on. I can't check yet. He said, well, just tell him you did. I said, I can't say what? I said, I can't do that because I haven't checked you, so I can't tell him I did. That's nothing but a white lie. I said, so what? The white lie. So you got a color-coded lie system, huh? I said, no. Nope. So now lying is now being presented as funny and harmless. The generation is unique in its reaction to liars and perjurers. I've been there. I've told lies before, and I'm sorry for it. But one lie, I can tell you from experience, one lie will lead to another. It will always lead to another. And when you're asked a question and you've lied about it before, you do one of those gulp things. You know, you said last week you were whatever. I got a question about that. Gulp. Oh. That is a horrible, terrible feeling. But I will tell you from experience, telling the truth will set you free. Well, it also gets you in trouble, but that's okay. That's a good kind of trouble when you tell the truth, because the burden's off of you. I know from personal experience, telling the truth is like a 100-pound weight taken off your back. There's your freedom, is truth. And as I said before, I know from experience. That's why I swore at one time after 1985, 86, I'd never tell another lie again. And I didn't, and I haven't, and I'm not going to. Because it's just amazing what the feel you have. I just can't describe it sometimes. It's that important. You tell that one lie, all it takes is one, it will haunt you and dig in you for the longest time. Sometimes years after. Man, it is not worth it. It is absolutely not worth it. So I vowed to tell the truth from then on. This nation even lifted up and glorified a recent president and his closest advisors. That's notable characteristics were lying, deceiving, and criminal perjury. They mocked the rules of law, mocked God's law. In God's eyes, elected leaders of a democracy are mirrors which reflect the people who elected them, willingly to keep them in the office. Telling the truth is fundamental to God's law. In the Bible, you find when a nation, its leaders, defiantly mock and ignore and turn their backs on God's law, God will turn his back on that nation and remove his protection and blessings from the people. Now, that's very important, what I've just said, because they know that principle. They know that God will turn his back on that nation and that people, and they know he'll remove the protection and remove the blessings from that people. So now if you're an Illuminati and you want to take over, what are you going to cause that culture to do? To go against God's law. You see? That's what you're going to do. That's what's going on today. It's been planned for generations. Little by little. To chip away at the truth, chip away at the culture, chip away from the truth in the Bible. And that way man will turn away from the Bible, which will then cause God to remove his protection. But in essence, that gets him closer to the New World Order, which essentially means that their demise will come soon after. So you see, it's a double-edged sword for them. Their successes will end up being their undoing. God will help us. The future of that people and nation is usually very, very grim if they don't change where they're going. But see, notice this. The prophecy has been written already. So God knows it's not going to happen. He already knows that the people are not going to change. But it doesn't mean you don't stop trying to help people individually. You just don't quit and say, well, Revelation says it's going to happen this way, so I just don't need to do anything. No, that's not correct. You've got to do something. And you do what God shows you in the direction to go. You keep up, keep on keeping on. See, it goes back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. It all matches. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now let's turn that around. If my people, which are called by my name, will not humble themselves, will not pray, and will not seek my face, and if they don't turn from their wicked ways, I will not hear from heaven, and I will not forgive their sin, and I will divide their land. I reversed it. That's the, what do you call it, the converse to that? That's exactly what's happening, and they know that. But apparently they don't know because they're arrogant. They don't know that that leads to their undoing. You have a hard time believing in God, maybe? Well, watch the news. God says all the Bible prophecies we're now seeing being fulfilled are given both as a final warning sign to the world and as a verifiable evidence and proof the Bible's true. Which, ironically enough, brings me to another point I wasn't counting on. Science is shattered. The hand of God is suddenly revealed. They're starting to find out that the earth is not rotating. It's not going out into space in this blue and red, we call them? I forgot the name of it, but shifts, red shift and blue shift. That the earth is expanding, that the universe is expanding outward from the Big Bang. They're finding out that ain't true. They're going to find out, watch. I think it's already happening, but that the earth is the center of the universe, and that the sun rotates around the earth. They got everything backwards. You're going to find that out later. You know, the kingdom of heaven is available to every man, woman, and boy, girl in this world. One thing I want to mention, NASA cannot be trusted. NASA is a formation of the Nazis that came over in 1945 to 1950. Von Braun helped set up NASA, and NASA was created by Freemasons to convince the world that space travel was possible. Conversely, meaning that aliens could visit here. You see, that's what NASA was created for. So we could believe in aliens. UFOs were the fallen angels that took on different shapes and forms. Yeah. You know, the kingdom of God is offered to all and any who receive it. To simply learn of Jesus, the promised Messiah, invite him into your life as Lord, believe he died on the cross for all your sins and rose from the grave, and proves that there's a kingdom of heaven and a hell. Learn of him and believe in him. For he was the only one who ever loved you enough to save you from your sins and from the utter darkness and torment of hell. So if you accept it, believe it, and trust in it, that's why Jesus is called Savior. He lovingly, graciously offers you a life in heaven. They don't talk about that much. They don't talk about the millennium. Repentance. Used to be in the old days it did, but not today. It's kind of a take it or leave it proposition. You consciously receive and accept this in faith, and if you sincerely admit you've sinned, which means you'll need a Savior to get into heaven. They have to be shown that they've sinned and ask Jesus to come into their life and try to stop doing, honestly, as much as they can, depending on prayer, to stop doing what they've been doing. Those things that God says are wrong. You'll go to heaven. And with open arms and tears of joy to receive all those who come to him in faith and love. And it's God's promise. You know, the only unpardonable sin is reject God's love. At one time, it was the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit where you would attribute Jesus' miracles to Satan. Today, the equal to that is unbelief, is an unpardonable sin. It is a free offer of life in the kingdom of heaven by rejecting Jesus, the Messiah, which is coming, a deadly deception of that I'll talk about this week. Some in both Bible study and broadcast. This Messiah who stepped forth from heaven as promised throughout the Old Testament, not to condemn the sinner, but to save the sinner from the torment of hell, and who willingly and lovingly shed his blood on the cross so you can be washed clean of all sins. But you have to acknowledge that sin. Let him know, I know I've sinned, and here it is. I want you to forgive me of it. The Bible warns us that there will be no peace in our lives until we make peace with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. The Bible also says there will be no peace in Israel or on the earth until Jesus, the Messiah, returns, the real one. Oh, not the fake one. And the one coming is going to call himself Yeshua. I hope to talk about that too this week. Ambitious this week, huh? The Hebrew Roots Movement, Sacred Name Movement, extraterrestrials, what they really are. And hopefully we'll talk about that this week. Just a whole lot of areas I'm going to talk about this week. So, a lot's going to happen. And they're starting to show their bad side, which has got my attention. when they start showing their dialectic, their bad side, then you know the antithesis is coming. The thesis is Illuminati is evil. You know the Illuminati even has a website? That means they want you to know. They had a question on Jeopardy, and the answer was, who's the Illuminati? They want you to know, because when they destroy the Illuminati, which will be a lie, they'll say, we've won, we defeated the bankers, the Illuminati, the Bushes, everybody, you know, whatever, has been arrested, all this and all that. That's called the dialectic. They've been doing this since our country was ever born. And people before that. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. Thesis, the antithesis. The thesis causes a reaction to the population, which is the synthesis. And then they have a solution, which is the antithesis. So in other words, just say, we want to get you started to war. So we sink the main. Really, we know it's going to cause you to be ticked off. And then we'll set up blaming the leader of Spain or wherever, and you all will support Spanish-American War. That's how it's always been done. We have Sandy Hook. It's a hoax. Yes, it was. And that justified putting police in schools, and you would agree to it. That's how they do it. Exactly how they do it. We want you to get vaccines. So we'll conjure up, which is what they did 2009, and say in the news, 1,000 people have died and more are dying every day from flu, which is what they said in 2009. So that caused everybody to panic because they believe in the news, which is controlled by the Council of Foreign Relations. So therefore, everybody want their vaccine so they won't die, and that will start the pandemic. And it'll be controlled. Because it's the ones that get the vaccine that get the pandemic. That's how it really works. I call it Hegelian dialectic. That's how Satan operates. Amazing what they're doing. Family, I see the signs of the times coming. You know what the Pope even denounced? Euthanasia. Yeah. He says it's a crime, a sin against God. Man, these people right on both sides of the fence, something awful. And then homosexuality, oh yeah, it's caused by DNA, genetic, passed on. That's where homosexuality comes from. But at the same time, the Pope says we're going to exorcise those that got suicide. They're not talking about homosexuality, which is also the same thing. Exorcism. Being delivered would help bring him out, and put that sin behind him. Now, tomorrow, I am going to talk about casting out demons and the full armor of God. We'll see how far we get on that in detail. And that's what we'll talk about tomorrow night. And, well, family, hope you got something out of tonight. Tonight was man waxing worse and worse. It's not a matter of being negative. It's a matter of being prepared for it to come. Evil men and women will wax worse and worse. And that's when you're going to go to work. Because people will be seeking the truth. And those of you that know the truth, God's going to put you at the right place at the right time, and you're going to be really busy. But you're also going to be attacked, too, because of the theology. It's going to be different. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together in Bible study. Father, to guide us every night that we come together, that, Lord, that you'll lead us in the right path and show us with wisdom and discernment the true word, the true explanation. Lord, and guide me as I teach, and Lord, learn myself, that Lord, you'll bless me, that I can bless and pass on to others, that I can pass on to others and bless us all. Father, I'm just a servant, just to pass the word and to teach, and Father, I need help. Lord, to give me that discernment and wisdom. And Lord, then others will do the same in their own lives and become teachers also. Father, we pass on the word. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for those miracles. We thank you, Lord, most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, down the cross for our sins. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Word. It's contained in the King James Bible that, Lord, will guide us into the right path. These things I pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Family, I'll let you all know now, I'm not a theologian. So I have to do an inordinate amount of research, inordinate amount of seeking out references, prayer, and letting the Spirit guide me, because I just can't do it. I'm a sinner from way back. But I do depend on the Holy Spirit to guide me, to put me in the right path almost every broadcast. I always have, actually. If I should fail, if I should come up with something wrong, please, somebody tell me to get me back on track. But family, deception is the rule. I'm sorry, but it is. As it says, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. I like being all positive and all that sort of thing, but I'm also realistic. And there's a time that God's going to say, well, enough is enough. And family, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be worldwide at the same time. Not one inch of ground won't feel the wrath of God when it comes down to the tribulations. Not one inch of this land will not be touched. There's no place that people are going to hide. There's nowhere they can go, and you won't have technology. And the wrath of God will be supernatural. God don't need man. Man needs God. Y'all have a good night. And know that he is alive. And he is coming back. And right now is when it starts. God bless y'all. Good night. And the week begins, and here we go. Have a good night. God bless y'all. This is your watchman, signing off.
My feet, as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted in.
I am with you every day till the end.